Financial technology, or fintech, is one of the fastest growing industries in the world today, with New York, London, Tel Aviv, Edinburgh, Singapore, Moscow, and other major cities all vying for a piece of the action. Welcome to Breaking Banks, the first dedicated radio show that focuses on how this new boom is changing everything, from the way we bank to the very concept of money itself. Now, here's your host, Brett King.
Welcome to Breaking Banks, the number one global fintech radio show and podcast. I'm JP Nichols, and co-hosting with me today is Theo Lau, founder of Unconventional Ventures and a regular Breaking Banks contributor. We were both together last week at Finovate in Silicon Valley, so we're going to recap that today with Greg Palmer, VP of Finovate, and Steve Ramirez, CEO of Beyond the Arc, who was there as always, live blogging and live tweeting every one of the 7-minute demos over 2 days. Today's show is brought to you by Provoke Management. The hosts of this and other Provoke.fm shows are some of the world's leading experts in fintech, innovation, and the future of financial services, and you can book them to speak at your conference or organization at provokemanagement.com. Today's show is also brought to you by Moovin. Moovin is the world's first downloadable bank account, and it's changing the way people engage with their money. Learn how Moovin is helping banks drive customer acquisition and deeper engagement at Moovin.com. Well, if you ever had any doubts that this was truly a global show, look no further than this episode. I am coming to you live from Astana, Kazakhstan. And if Theo, Greg, and Steve are in their home cities, that would be Washington, D.C., Seattle, and Berkeley, California, respectively. And also joining us for the top of the show is our main host and founder, Brett King, joining us from Amsterdam. Brett, what's going on in Amsterdam? He's back. What's going on?
So I'm just chilling in Amsterdam after a big day of work here at NRC Live. We had a fintech startup competition here and a few other things, so it was quite interesting. It's really interesting to sort of get a feel for these different markets in terms of how they're all processing this and how they perceive fintech versus the incumbents and so forth. It's really interesting to see those different flavors of markets. But we've had a good day, but I'm pretty tired now. It's like 9 p.m. here, so I'll join you guys for a bit of the news and stuff, and then I'll hand it back over to you and Theo.
Great. Well, I know you have a conference announcement of your own. You want to kick us off with that?
Yeah, so June 12th and 13th, I'll be in Australia for Amplify. That's AMP, the big insurer down there, doing their flagship annual event. And on the 13th afternoon, I will be speaking at an event with RFI. So, you know, our friend Chloe James over there and Alan Shields and those guys. So I'll be down there for Australia doing that. Then I'm actually going to spend some time in Oz studying the next book. Not Bank 4.0, that's already done and wrapped, the follow-on for Augmented. So doing a bit of stuff down there, and we'll get to see my kids as well. But also, of course, before that, I'll be in Austin, Texas on June 6th, 8th. And I guess you're going to be there. Ron's going to be there, Ron Shevlin, Jim Morales. This is the American Bankers Digital Banking Conference in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, I'm not going to be at that one. I'm left off of that party list. But Jason Hendricks will be next 2 days.
Right.
At Finn Found Her, a 2-day immersive workshop for women-led startups to learn from industry experts and investors to accelerate their company's growth and fundraising. So it's going to be a great program in Chicago. Use promo code BANKS1 to save 40% at finnfoundher.com. Also, Fintech Week is coming up in London the 6th through the 13th of July. The world of fintech comes to the world's fintech capital to enhance the dialogue between established multinationals, innovation firms, disruptive startups, governments, media, and investors. And finally, we have a special announcement. We're a media partner with Block Show Europe Conference that's coming up in Berlin on May 28th and 29th. The conference is dedicated to discovering the hottest innovations and trends happening in both European and global blockchain scenes. It's going to feature more than 3,000 attendees, over 150 projects, over 80 internationally recognized speakers, including Jimmy Wales, the founder of Wikipedia. They're also going to use a world's first blockchain-based application for polling, pretty interesting, to identify the distinguished women leaders, game-changing companies who are building the tools and services that will continue to propel blockchain forward. Included will be Elizabeth Rosiello, CEO of BitPesa, Ming Chan, Executive Director of the Ethereum Foundation, Alina Voronova, former CEO and co-founder of Satoshi Labs, and Diana Biggs, Head of Business Model Innovation at HSBC. So BlockShow Europe will give exposure to the most innovative releases from promising blockchain companies and a look at IoT, AI, cybersecurity, and many other related topics. So check it out at blockshoweurope.com. And if you have something to share with our audience, hit us on Twitter at BreakingBanks1 or email us at info@provoke.fm. So Theo, welcome back to the show. What's in the news this week?
Thank you. So we have a couple of interesting articles to share. The first one is from our friend Chris Skinner. He had a post on small bank thinking that we would probably urge everyone to check out. That was a little bit of a firestorm on Twitter. And we can post a link on Twitter in a little bit. And of course, as usual, our friends Jim and Ron Shevlin both weighed in on it. And essentially what Chris say is, I know it's hard, but do it anyway.
Right.
And he said, the number of times I meet a small financial firm's leadership team and find the CEO is the head of the table surrounded by yes people is a long list. And they've been the CEO for years and no one challenges them and they don't want to be challenged. They see all this stuff going on around them and bring people like me to show that they care. And then they don't do anything about it because they're proud of their heritage and want to keep their customers on site and believe that their differentiation is their history.
Oh, don't get me and Jason started on that. We see that a lot. You know, I like what Ron Shevlin said on Twitter. Must be me, but I don't hear any of these excuses. I hear we don't need to be digital. Our customers rely on branches, and people are our biggest asset. And so I think, obviously, there's a range.
The other one that came out on the Twitter discussion on this was, the very often, and I hear this all the time, you know, especially when I do the shock and awe presentation about disruption and stuff like that, and I get comments like, I'm so glad I'm retiring in a couple of years and I don't have to worry about this. You know, I get that from people on the board and CEOs, and it's not a strategy, right?
No. And, you know, what we often say when we work with institution is, start with the coalition of the willing. So the good news is every day we're more and more converts of people that understand that the world is going to look a whole lot different in the future than it did in the fairly staid past of banking. And so how do you find those people, get them together, and just start working on it, even if you don't know exactly where it's going? And clearly there's exceptions. Jason had John Schulte on the show last week. He's the CIO of $3 billion Mercantile Bank of Michigan. And they were talking about their partnership with Abe, the AI-powered chatbot. They were actually the first bank to partner with PayPal. So lots of good exceptions, and we'll be calling them out on the show here as we go along. But if we're not with the program, it's more than time to do that or go ahead and retire.
Yeah, and also in the news this week was our good mate, Josh Reich from Simple. So 10 years on, he's moving on, stepping down from Simple. He's going to stay on the board and stay involved in some of the product decisions and stuff like that. But he is moving on. He said he's going to go farming in Portland for a while. He's bought this huge farm up in Portland, so he's going to focus on that a bit. But I'm actually chatting to Josh next week. So I'm going to try and get him on the show and give us a bit of an update. But I don't think it's a coincidence that it's sort of 4 years, almost to the day since the BBVA deal was done. I think maybe that's an aspect of the timing of the deal. You know, founders are often asked to stay on, when there's acquisitions like this. But I think also it's a point now where Simple's pretty stable. He's done what he needed to do in terms of migrating them onto the BBVA stack, integrating with that. And now it sort of continues in growth mode. And so Dixon Chu's running the interim role as CEO there. We'll see whether that becomes permanent.
Well, he becomes a farmer. That sounds like a Portlandia episode waiting to happen.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
All right, what else do you have, Theo?
Yeah, I was actually reading that news earlier too, right before we started the show. So we'll be interested to see what happened next. So another interesting article, and I tweeted it out earlier, is something from Forbes that we picked up from Bill Fisher, who is the professor of innovation management at IMD. And the article was called Why We Can't Innovate. And it has a bunch of good excuses that he has heard, including we know the customer well, we'll know when they want something new, and the future is forever, but the present is this quarter. I like that quote. That's good.
That's your
favorite topic, right?
Yeah, that's a tough one. It is hard to balance both. And, you know, on the topic of we know the customer well, I mean, I literally just had a conversation about an hour ago with somebody and described a situation where we had come up with 9 ideas and we threw in a 10th one that we thought was really lame, but we wanted 10. And it turned out once we actually got customers involved, they hated our first 9 and loved the 10th one that we thought was stupid.
Hey, but you know what? You never know until you try. So, and moving on to other news, Goldman Sachs-backed payments company Circle is introducing a digital version of the U.S. dollar with a cryptocurrency pegged to it, and the startup is now worth $3 billion after the new fundraising round.
Yeah, so it was a $110 million round, and the name of the cryptocurrency they're creating is called Stablecoin.
Aspirational, we'll see if it is. The least.
Yeah. That assumes the U.S. dollar is stable.
Oh, God. Depressing. Speaking of money speaking of aspiration, so Northwestern Mutual just did a new release of a study they've been doing for a while that looks at U.S. adults' attitudes and behaviors towards money. And there's some interesting stats from the study that they shared. 1 in 3 baby boomers have $0 to $25,000 in their retirement savings. Now, thinking about these as the people that are about to retire and is supposed to have a bigger stash of money. And on top of it, 43% of people believe there is some likelihood of outliving their retirement savings. So more to be done.
As we live longer and we deal with longevity and, you know, life extension and things like that, you know, all the gene therapy, stem cells, all those sort of things, this is going to be increasingly a problem unless people are working till they're in their 80s and 90s. If you're living to 120 and you retire at age 55, that's a long time to have your savings last.
Yeah, that's true. And there is something to be said about, are you working longer because you choose to, or are you working longer because you have to?
Yeah, and those technological advances are moving faster than the advances in trying to give people better access and better ways to save through financial products. So you're right, it's a problem we're going to deal with for quite a long time. Well, let's welcome our guests. We've got Greg Palmer, VP of Finovate, the demo-based fintech conference that's now in its 11th year, as Brad Limer likes to call it, the Disneyland of fintech. And I'd also like to welcome Steve Ramirez, CEO of Beyond the Arc and a longtime fixture at Finovate, famous for his live blogging and live tweeting of every single demo. So, Greg, give us a recap of last week's show and tell us about what happened in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for having me, JP. Really appreciate the opportunity to chat with everybody. So last week in Santa Clara, we had 1,100 attendees and 55 presenters. 26 of them were completely new to Finovate, and 120 speakers spread out over the 4 days there. So quite a bit of content to digest. And I've been spending the first part of this week just kind of recapping everything and thinking about all of the interesting takeaways that have come from it. So I thought it was a pretty exciting couple of days. Obviously, you guys were there and probably saw more of it than I did, in all honesty. But it was a very enjoyable conference for us.
Great. Steve, what was your perspective?
You know, I thought it was a great Finovate. The demos really stand out in a couple of ways. I think some interesting take on some old ideas and some radically new ideas. So I thought some good demos, but really standout conference program as well. So overall, I thought it definitely delivered. Although I have to say, Greg, it was exhausting over those 4 days.
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, I think everybody feels you on that one. So we're going to be trying out a three-day version this fall in New York and see how that works. Obviously, some difficult choices in terms of trying to condense all the content that we had down into just 3 days. So we're working on it now, and hopefully we can come up with one that's a little bit easier on both our presenters and our attendees.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say thank you so much for doing that, because we have done, 4 days for two Finovates back to back, and it is exhausting. And I was there, obviously, with you guys for the week, and I wanted to say kudos for having really interesting panelists throughout the last 2 days and really, really good diversity. However, I do have a question, and you guys know I'm going to ask that. How come we only have two female presenters with the 55 startups that were on stage? Is there something we can do?
Well, I think this is something that we're really looking at as well. Obviously, there are some systemic problems within fintech that are limiting females in leadership roles. And to be totally honest, we aren't seeing as many applications as we would like come through with women in leadership positions. So when we see those types of companies come across our desk, we really like to be able to put them up there. And at other shows, I think we've done a little bit better job of getting more female leaders up on stage demoing their products. But we are limited by the applications that come in. So if they don't apply to us, then we can't get them up there. And I think one of the things that we really look at is how can we get more female CEOs and speakers up on stage? How can we make Finovate attractive to them so that they want to come and demo their solutions at Finovate? And that's something that we're really working on. And as always, you know, anybody who has, you know, a female leader who would be a great addition to our demo lineup, please don't hesitate to send them our way. We're very interested.
You bet. Definitely will do that. And another interesting thing I noticed, both amongst the demos as well as the panels, you know, that you guys have put forth together, is there's more focus on financial wellness and doing good for the consumer. And I wonder if that's like a more wider industry trend, you know, as what we see, you know, with Citibank and SunTrust and all the other banks trying to do something more, right? And as what Jacob said on his panel, let's go back to the basics.
Yeah, it's something that's been a passion of mine for quite a while. As I've gotten into financial technology, I've looked at how the industry can really make a big difference in the world in general. And I think looking at how you get access to basic banking services to new people, people who've been traditionally excluded from the equation, I think there's a real positive element there. And I think that's something that a lot of other people are starting to realize as well. There is a slightly cynical take on it, which would be that, you know, these people who have been excluded from the financial market so far represent a massive untapped customer base. And I think we're seeing a lot of financial institutions starting to look at those groups and say, how can we get a piece of that? So there's potentially a less altruistic incentive for people to engage with that type of technology. But I'm really glad to see it happening. It is something that I think we've really enjoyed at Finovate. We've had a couple of really good companies launching and doing things in that space that's been exciting. And as much as we can see that, we love to get it up there. You know, Money Amigo was one of the companies who demoed this time around, and they won best of show their first time up when they were very early stage. And to see their progression and see them actually being able to get into this market and make a real difference, I think is heartening for a lot of other people. And I hope that we start to see some other companies following in those footsteps.
You know, Greg, I think the other dimension I would say is not just about the unbanked or the underbanked, but I wanted to, you know, put a shout out to Kasasa, because I think that is a case of bringing that thinking around financial wellness really to everyday bank, you know, products and services. So they unveiled a new consumer loan product, you know, which I think is built from the ground up really around consumers. And the elements that I like, and I'm very interested in your guys' thoughts on this too, but I love the fact that after the loan was already closed, that I could go back in as a customer and I can make some changes. You know what? Maybe I needed a little bit more money in that loan, or maybe I actually want to take a little bit less so I can reduce my payments. I mean, for me, it's financial wellness is really about how do we make sure that people are healthy in their financial lives, literally, you know, every single day.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think it underscores that there are a lot of different angles that you can approach this from. It doesn't have to be ground-shaking, earth-moving types of innovations that are going to dramatically change an entire continent. It can be something that's that simple in some sense, that customer-friendly. And so I really like that one. You know, another one that I think a lot of people missed at Finovate Spring because of some language issues was a company from Venezuela called Tenno. And as difficult as it is to present in 7 minutes, I can't even imagine how much harder it is if it's not your native language.
Can you imagine? No, it's just like it's daunting, right? I mean, just think about what that must be like in front of 1,100 people on stage, and English is not your first language.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think they gave it a really good effort, but I think a lot of people miss the fact that you can basically create your own insurance group through Tenno, that you can have a group of people who are excluded from being able to get regular insurance and be able to say, we are a group. We are going to take, you know, a soccer team or a village or our own company in a part of the world that doesn't have access to these services, and we can create an insurance group among ourselves. And the name Tenno actually is worth mentioning as well. It's a piece of the Latin word for emperor penguin, and they pick that because the emperor penguins huddle together against the cold, and that's very much how they imagine their product serving their customers, is letting the customers come together, huddle together, and create their own insurance group, which I think is just fascinating, and I would encourage everybody to take a closer look at that company because I think it was a difficult one to really engage with on site there.
Yeah, it's Tenno, spelled T-E-N-O. So they were not a winner, but Casasa was, as Steve mentioned, and that's been one of the fixtures of Finovate, your best of show awards that are voted on by the audience. Give us a recap of who the winners were last week.
Yeah, sure. So we mentioned Casasa. The other winners were AlphaRank, Conversation One, Dynamics, and Trusona. And I can go over just a quick overview of each of those if that would be helpful.
Yeah. So
AlphaRank is a data visualization tool that helps banks understand how their customers are connected. And it's a very pretty demo when you watch that technology up on stage. I think it looks really visually appealing, but there's a lot of muscle behind it as well, which I think is really engaging and captivating for a lot of the folks who are looking at it and voting, obviously. Conversation One was actually the only one of this group who was winning their first best of show. The others had all won at least one before. And they are an AI voice kind of build one, run anywhere type of platform that's very easy to integrate, very seamless from a customer standpoint. So that was a really positive and good voice demo there. Dynamics, well, what can you say? This is their eighth best of show win at Finovate, by far the leader in this category. I think second place is MX, formerly Money Desktop, with six. But their smart card with the connected chip is, I think, just astonishing. You know, the ability to have a card that's connected, that has a rechargeable battery. There's a lot of cool pieces to pick and choose there. And from a hardware standpoint, really just amazing. And then Trusona was a best of show winner at Finovate Fall. They are a seamless authentication and login platform. And it's obviously very well demoed. You know, the speaker there really did a good job of conveying it. And it's a cool platform, demoed well, not a surprise to see them rounding out that top five.
You know, it's so interesting. You think about Dynamics. They really kind of split the crowd. As you say, always a fan favorite, eight now Best in Show Award winners. And yet there are plenty who kind of roll their eyes because it's still card-based. And the more futurist-leaning in the audience and the Twitterati really say, but that's kind of so yesterday's news, we're going to move to something that's beyond the physical artifact of the card. I think this is one of the most fascinating things as we think about innovation, and you guys talked about this already just a few minutes ago, that can mean something different to everybody, and it could be some very incremental things we can do today or tomorrow, and some things that really look way far down the road. I mean, what's your take on it, Greg?
That you can look at it. If you live and work inside the fintech bubble, so to speak, then you do kind of get this sense that maybe we're moving away from the card. Maybe this is technology that's cool, but it's going to lead to a dead end. But I think, you know, in one of the interesting things that I like to do at every Finnovate is talk to the support crew. We have a huge number of people who help us put on the events, AV staff and caterers and things like that, including, you know, our AV team, who's seen a lot of Finnovates now. And these are not fintech professionals, but they always respond really positively to Dynamics. They look at this and say, as a consumer, that's the one that I want. And so you look at it from that standpoint and think, you know, is the card technology dying? Potentially. I mean, I don't know that I've seen conclusive proof that it's going to, but what Dynamics is doing speaks to consumers and sort of everyday users in a way that is really accessible, really unique, and people who see them for the first time are traditionally blown away, and that's why they look at those best of show votes, and you see how Dynamics has been very successful there. And the same thing happens backstage. Our AV crew, who's miking people up, is going to really engage with that technology. When I'm at a party talking to people about what I do, Dynamics is frequently one of the examples that I use as a way for people to understand what is fintech. So the card has clearly not gone anywhere yet. And I think what Dynamics is doing with them is really unique and really interesting. And I think it's one of those where it's, you know, easy to potentially get a little dismissive of them, but I think you do so at your own peril.
Well, I'm going to be radical and just say the card is convenient, right? I think that, my personal bank actually has the cardless ATM experience. And I'll tell you, by the time I get my phone out and approach the ATM, I could have swiped and entered my PIN and walked away with my money. So I think that if we, you know, there are some things that I definitely believe that it's the future, but there are some aspects to it that really do work well today. And it's a matter of how does that get enhanced or changed over time?
Right. I mean, that's an example of why it's so hard to look at some place like China and say, you know, why can't America leapfrog to that? Well, because we have a lot of stuff that works kind of okay. Sure, we could imagine something better, but as uncool as it might be, pulling a card out and swiping it still works, and it works well enough for a lot of people. Now, somebody said that there were zero blockchain demos this time. Is that true? I didn't count them all one by one. And if so, was that by design, or is that a reflection of something that's going on in the market?
So certainly not something that's by design. We actually had quite a few at Finnovate Europe. And this is one of the things that we've seen as we expand into the different geographies. We will sometimes get some unusual shows where, you know, Finnovate Europe, we had quite a few blockchain demos. We'll likely see some more at Finnovate Fall. For whatever reason, there weren't a lot of companies coming to our West Coast show with those this time around. But what we're seeing is a lot of companies who are working on it, and we actually know of a couple companies who had planned on coming to Finnovate Spring are now looking at Finnovate Fall instead. So I would say don't worry about blockchain innovation. It's still going strong, and I expect that this show will be something of an anomaly, and we'll see more of that at future shows.
Yeah, and I would contribute to the other thing I noticed, JP, is that there was less about people sort of trumpeting the fact that they were blockchain, but in fact they were using blockchain. So there's a company called Switch, and so part of their global gifting platform and sort of a network of retailers is based on blockchain technology. So I think this is one of the trends sort of that I spotted, is that some of the high-profile technologies and trends are really just been embedded into the product. So it's not necessarily as trumpeted, but it is there.
Mm. So before we head into break, Greg, you as the host and MC of Finnovate for some time made yourself famous for all of your dad jokes in between the demos. What's the story behind that? And do you have a favorite you want to share before we head to break?
Well, first off, they used to just be jokes. So, you know, when they became dad jokes, I guess I don't know. I guess I need to work on my material a little bit more. But
I was quoting you. That wasn't an insult.
No, this is a perfect illustration of how one tweet can change the conversation, right? Because that's how this thing come about. But no, actually, I do it a lot for my own amusement. I think I've made no secret of that over the years. And this might come as a shock to you guys, but financial technology can get a little dry. So it's good to have something in there to mix it up. And actually, my favorite dad joke, actually, I stole from a high school math teacher that I had. And I used this to great effect multiple times early on in my hosting career. But it's a simple one. Why should you always do business with companies from Ireland? Because their capital is always Dublin. Rod McKinney, if you are out there listening to this, I stole that joke straight up from you. It's fantastically terrible. And that really was the one that kind of kicked it all off.
Oh, that's great. Well, on that note, Breaking Banks is happy to support Finovate across their global series of events with annual gatherings in New York, London, Silicon Valley, Hong Kong, Dubai, and now Cape Town. Finovate events are a demo-first showcase of new innovations in banking and financial technology. Finovate is the original fintech demo conference, giving innovative companies just 7 minutes on stage to showcase their latest and greatest without using any slides or canned video. For attendees, there's no better way to see a large number of innovations in a very short time frame. And for presenting companies, the events offer a powerful opportunity to get your product in front of the people who matter. Breaking Banks listeners are eligible for a 20% discount on tickets to future shows. Just simply enter the code Breaking Banks, all one word, when you register. More information, go to finovate.com or email at info@finovate.com. So it's time to take a short break, but we'll be right back after this with more Breaking Banks.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at VAPressPass.com. That's VAPressPass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Now, before we get back to talking about fintech, I want to take a quick moment to tell you about eFinancialCareers.com, one of the supporters of the show. They're the world's leading career site for financial service professionals for over 15 years. eFinancialCareers.com partners with leading financial and fintech firms, so your resume is seen by all the top companies and recruiters in the U.S. and abroad. Now, as we all know, financial services is a very dynamic, ever-changing industry, and eFinancial Careers provides valuable resources from helpful career coaching to interview strategies and tools that keep you up to speed and well-informed with what's happening now in the industry and what it means for your career. Registration's free for financial professionals. Make sure you take advantage of all the resources they have to offer. So check them out, eFinancialCareers.com.
You're listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or join the conversation on Twitter by using the hashtag Breaking Banks. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks. This is JP Nichols, and today's show is brought to you by Medici, formerly Let's Talk Payments. Medici provides solutions to the world's leading banks, insurance companies, and fintech startups to maximize the return on their innovation investments. Medici has partnered with FedFizz, the bank data specialist, to create a new solution, the FI Data Pack. The FI Data Pack provides proprietary ratings, financial metrics, and contacts for every bank and credit union in the U.S. to empower your sales and marketing team to focus on identifying the perfect financial institution for your next sale. Use code PROVOKE to receive a discount at gomedici.com/breakingbanks. And that's Medici spelled like the Renaissance family, M-E-D-I-C-I. Well, it has been a week, but we are still talking about Finovate, held last week in Silicon Valley. Theo Lau and I are here with Greg Palmer, VP of Finovate, and Steve Ramirez from Beyond the Arc. Greg, Finovate was famous for being demos only, now demos first. A couple years ago, you did start to supplement that a little bit with keynotes and panels. What was the reason behind that?
Yeah, so we got obviously a lot of traction with the demo first model, and I think that was something that we still want to keep a part of Finovate. But we were looking at our audience and looking at the people who were consistently there and tweeting or doing post-show recaps and looking at the content that was coming out of Finovate but wasn't being captured on the Finovate stage. And for us to be able to get people like yourself and Theo and Steve involved who've been loyal to Finovate, who've been coming and covering the show, giving them a platform to actually share some of those insights was a real priority for us. And it's something that our audience has been consistently asking for. So, you know, I know, Steve, we really put you to work this time around. I think you hosted a couple of sessions for us, and thank you very much. You know, I saw the video that you put together with William Mills, who also we put to work. And it's great to see you guys being able to play a part in this conversation. And the feedback that we're getting from our audience members is that these are very valuable discussions and very helpful in putting the demos into some context. And that's really exactly what we wanted to do, provide a little more context, a little more thought leadership, so that people could view those demos in a slightly more informed way.
Yeah, I mean, clearly I'm on board with that. You guys both know in 2013, I co-founded the Bank Innovators Council exactly because I knew from firsthand experience. I was a banker the first time I attended Finovate, and I wanted peers to discuss with and exactly what you said, put context around it. I tweeted out last week that I think that was my 16th time attending Finovate. I've lost the exact count, but it was my first time taking the stage there. And in my keynote, I talked about how at the first few Finovates, bold founders looking to disrupt the status quo declared on stage how they were going to put the banks and brokers and credit card issuers and mortgage companies and so on out of business. And then I noticed maybe 5 or 6 years ago, there was a major shift, and nearly everyone since then ends their pitch with, "We'd love to partner with your bank or credit union, so come see us at our booth." I think that the major existential question everyone seemed to be grappling with at the first few shows was, is fintech for real? Will it really drive major change? And I think almost unanimously the answer to that is yes. And then it seemed to start to shift to, do I need to do something if I'm an incumbent? And I think that kind of plays to what you just said about your reason for expanding the format. And I argued in my talk that the key question now is, really, how do I really get serious about this, and how do I actually make things happen, not just attend what Jason Hendricks likes to call the fintech petting zoo, and that's amazing, 54 companies and back-to-back-to-back 7-minute demos, but how do I actually bring that back and do something with it? So does that make sense to you from your perspective, Greg? Do you think that's the key question, or is there another key question in mind for the incumbents who are in the audience?
Yeah, no, I think that's really kind of spot on. You know, we very much saw that same trend as well. A lot of companies initially trying to disrupt and now looking at coming through to partner or to try and look at distribution partnerships. And there's this a recognition that the incumbent advantage is really large. It's very substantial, very difficult to overcome. And fintech is a slow-moving industry in some ways. It takes a while for a product to make it from the conceptual phase into something that end users actually will see. And the ones that end users tend to see are the ones that can go through banks because they own the relationship. So I think you've seen the industry respond to that. Now, obviously, there are going to be people who go outside of that, Betterment or Square or things like that, who can take a message direct to consumer. But it's a much more difficult path to gaining that kind of adoption when you go directly to consumer, simply because getting attention, getting your message out there is so difficult, and establishing yourself as a trusted financial entity can be a real challenge as well. So what we've seen is a lot of companies who do come and look at banks now as a distribution model. And what that's done, in my view, to the industry is sort of turned fintech into something which, instead of being for the user, is in large parts now for the banks. The companies that make it are the ones with a significant bank angle, a value proposition for those financial institutions. And I think that now we're going to start seeing the pendulum swing back the other way. I think we're going to look at possibility for users to almost build their own bank with a variety of one-off services. I know that's what I've done. That's what a lot of the people that I talk to who are, you know, I don't necessarily consider myself a millennial, but people who are in that kind of age range are looking at building their own financial institution. And I think that's something that you're going to see more and more of. So as an incumbent organization, you know, what do you need to do to make sure you stay relevant? Well, you need to obviously make sure you take care of your customer relationship, but you need to start looking at innovation, not necessarily through the lens of what's the value proposition to you, the bank, but what's the value proposition to your users? What will keep them excited about banking with you? And I think we're going to start seeing more attention paid to that. We actually saw at Finovate Europe, 5 of our 7 Best of Show winners focused on customer experience in some way. And that's very rare that we would see that type of concentration among Best of Show winners. So clearly this is something that the financial industry is starting to really pay attention to. And I think that we are going to see a lot more of that type of innovation with the end user in mind, almost as a defensive move for banks to make sure they hold on to the customers that they have.
Well, and I think that for the banks too, and the established institutions, you know, they realize that there's also a lot that they learn from the startups. So, as you guys know, in my day job leading Beyond the Arc, our focus is around customer experience strategy and data science. And those are things that, from a Silicon Valley perspective, you know, I really talk about it in terms of a Silicon Valley playbook, right? There are things that companies do to stimulate growth. And so on the main stage at Finovate, I think there was a really great conversation that included Square and Ondot really talking about how they build the product to be able to incorporate customer experience in a way that not only just delivers an enjoyable experience, but really builds growth, right? It was really about what are the tactics that you use to be able to accelerate growth and retain customers. I think that fintech startups, they know that. They've got that part down cold, and that's what the banks and large players, insurance companies, that's what they need to learn from the fintechs.
Completely agree.
So that's interesting. I mean, you know, that is probably why, you know, if you guys probably notice, there's less directed consumer startups at demoed at the recent Finovate compared to before, right? And it plays along to the theme that you guys were talking about is how do we work together to create a better value proposition and focus on the consumer experience. Now, speaking of which, I saw an article yesterday, I think, from American Banker, and that talked about if you are sick of the old boys club, start your own bank. And the whole value prop in there is, you know, to empower women, let's just start a bank to focus on the needs of women and let's get together to see how we can innovate to address the special needs for women. I thought that's interesting. That plays along to the theme of, you know, hey, how do we get people excited and buy our services?
Yeah, and I think, Theo, that definitely having better participation of, you know, sort of gender diversity, you know, ethnic diversity leads to different and better outcomes. And I think that we sort of see that. You know, I had at Finovate, there was a great conversation, a fireside chat that I had, not with a founder, but Valentina Christensen is at the UK Challenger Bank, Oak North. And I think she was employee number 10. So although I think they were in business for like 8 days before she joined. So pretty early on. And I think that the key lesson that I learned from that conversation was just the two things. But one was the absolutely critical nature of culture, you know, and they really do a lot to be able to build a culture of inclusion, but not based on demographics. It really is a culture of inclusion where everyone as an individual is seen as critical to the mission and the success of Oak North. And if you're not up for that, then that's not the right place for you. So I think that there is something about this, you know, kind of how culture works to ignite the kind of growth that successful companies have.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And, you know, Greg, one of the other big hits that you've added beyond just the demos is the analyst all-star panel. I mean, this year you had Jacob Yeager from Javelin, Dan Lattimore from Celent, Tiffany Montez from ITE, Jerry Silva from IDC, and of course, our own Ron Shevlin from Cornerstone Advisors. And, you know, Ron is just always has all kinds of things to say, and he's already hitting us on Twitter about a lot of this stuff, and we're going to have him on in the coming weeks to talk quite a bit more about that news article that Theo talked about at the top of the show on the excuses and why it is or shouldn't be or is or isn't or should or shouldn't be hard for banks to innovate. But I mean, that really was an all-star analyst panel. Did anyone stand out to you? Were there any hot takes that you want to recap here?
So this is a difficult one for me because backstage there's always a little bit of bedlam going on and I don't actually get to watch it until the video comes out. But I'll tell you that I watched the one we did at Finovate Fall numerous times and I feel like I learned something new every time through it. Now what you can tell, you know, there's a variety of different types of perspectives there. And that really is what I talked about earlier, getting those perspectives up on stage. I think the analyst all-star panel really gets to the heart of that. And I think condensing the analyst down to just 7 minutes is also a really useful thought exercise for them to sort of focus on what they want to do. You know, true story, we originally had this called Battle of the Analysts when we were going to do it for Finovate Fall, and they all rejected that terminology. They liked the All-Star much better for obvious reasons, but there is still an era or an element of competitiveness to it, which I think is really good and healthy. They want to go up there and do their best and compete with each other in a fun way. You know, Tiffany was actually backstage joking that she was going to keep the slide clicker and not let Ron have it to sort of sabotage his presentation right there. And I think when you can see that little bit of playfulness mixed with the obvious, you know, high level of credibility and insight that this group has, it's a fascinating session. And I am confident that I'll be watching the Finovate Spring one multiple times.
Yeah, and then the last thing you want to do is challenge Ron, right? Because he'll rise.
I think they were ready for it. Believe me, Tiffany was definitely ready to take Ron on. I think she was quite up for that task.
I think Tiffany mentioned that Ron might have taken a few slides out from her deck.
I will say, too, that Jim Breeny mentioned that Ron had really good slides, which you know that means something from a guy who started a conference with no slides allowed as the formal rule. For him to concede somebody had a good slide deck, that's quite a concession for Ron.
No, and I can tell you that in a private conversation, Ron said, you know, there aren't a lot of people whose opinion matters to me, but Jim Breeny is one of them. So it was a compliment well taken and well deserved. His slides were outstanding. You know, I also think there have been some ebbs and flows in some of the predominant themes for companies choosing to demo at Finovate. I mean, I'm curious what you guys think. What themes are changing or dying out?
Yeah, I'll jump in. I think one of the things that we've seen, and we kind of touched on this earlier, there's a way that fintech innovation, you know, you get a new splash of something and like blockchain or like artificial intelligence. And for a while that dominates the conversation. And then it sort of fades into the background as it slowly seeps in to all of the other solutions that you see. So, you know, artificial intelligence, I think, is a perfect example from Finovate Spring that now a huge number of the demos that you see aren't AI focused, but they incorporate AI in some way. Similarly, you know, API and SDK technology, about a third of the companies that we saw are offering that. So clearly there's this recognition that you need to make your product accessible and easy to integrate, and they're looking at that as a way to do it. So I don't know that I would necessarily call that a theme as much as an acceptance of that technology as becoming the status quo, and I think you'll start to see that in other areas as well.
Yeah, Greg, I agree, and I would give you an example of that is AlphaRank, for example. I think a few years ago, AlphaRank really talked about social media and talked about, you know, sort of Facebook, and I think they've really transcended. I think that's probably one of the reasons they were best of show. It goes way beyond, you know, sort of social media platforms, and it's all about kind of the social graph of how do people interact with one another. So much more fundamental about the impact that these technologies can have. And so I think you're right. We've seen that across social media, artificial intelligence, even something like personal financial management. You know, PFM was hiding there underneath the covers of a couple of different product offerings.
Well, because it plays to the theme of technology as a means to an end, right? So at the end of the day, it's not so much what tech you're using as what it will achieve or what enables. Like, you know, pretty much like what we talked about earlier is the focus on financial wellness. So how do you do it? Do you use artificial intelligence coupled up with financial planning, using different sources of data? You know, that's just getting to the heart of what are we doing for our consumers. Now, I have a question to ask you guys, because our friend, Brett Limer, he did a panel on VR and AR. And yesterday, I saw a post about Amazon and Fidelity Labs collaborating on a VR financial agent. So is there a there? What do you guys think?
I think the answer is absolutely. And I think it's, I do believe, and I think it's heavily, I wish Brett was still on. I think it's heavily integrated by what Brett had to say. It really is more augmented. You know, I think it's about being able to, in the moment, add more context and add more information. And I'm not sure, I'm not convinced that, that pure VR experiences are really ever going to be appropriate. And I think that the jury, personally, the jury's still out on that one, but definitely on the AR side.
I would tend to agree with that. I think, you know, AR at the moment, I think, has more to offer the financial services space. Although I always like to see people who are pushing the boundary without necessarily having an end goal in mind, focusing on what can we do without necessarily thinking, will people use this, right? We had Comarch on stage a couple years back doing a virtual reality banking demo where they could put somebody into a virtual branch. And you know, I'm not sure that there's much practical application for it, but if you look at that and what they were doing and the way that the industry has evolved, clearly they have started a jumping off point which has pushed people into doing something. And so, you know, we don't know how people are going to engage with technology in the future. It's entirely possible that virtual reality will be something much more commonplace. You know, I don't know if we'll get to Ready Player One in the next couple of years, but it's not difficult to imagine people spending significant amount of time in VR before too long. And when that happens, do people then bank through VR as well? I wouldn't bet against it at the moment. You know, somebody in 2009 would have said you're never going to bank from your phone, and here we are all engaging with our financial institutions in a variety of ways. So I like to see people playing with it and doing things with it, even though there's not necessarily a carrot in front of them right now, other than just saying, we want to see if we can do this.
Hey, Greg, you know, I just remembered, wasn't there a demo, I want to say maybe in New York, from NCR a couple of years ago that actually was a virtual reality, like go inside of an ATM to be able to learn how to, you know, perform maintenance on it. I sort of remember that as a Finovate thing.
Yeah, and actually this is something that Brad Limer and I were talking about in a quick chat that we had, looking at it from a standpoint of training for potential, you know, employees. You can look at how can you repair an ATM, which was what NCR was doing, get you inside the machine so if you have a problem you can go in and fix it. You can look at people and put them into you know, virtual scenarios. How would you deal with this customer? We've seen banks who are using it in that way. So that is something which we haven't really talked a lot about, or which I haven't seen talked a lot about, but it is something which I think is really helpful when you look at helping bankers and their own employees give the customers experiences that they want. VR can be a really helpful tool in getting them where they need to be.
Yeah, I agree. I think I see that similar themes on different verticals like health tech, for example, where they're using VR to empower the employees when it comes to training them. But I agree with you. I'm not so sure if, you know, I want to be wearing a pair of special glasses to visualize my financial statement. Not quite there yet.
Well, it actually led to a terrifying moment for me backstage during the middle of Comarch's demo a couple years back. She had the goggles on, so she couldn't see where she was standing in high heels with a cord that was slowly getting wrapped around her feet as she was spinning and engaging with VR. And this is one of those moments where I'm just hoping, fingers crossed backstage, please don't let her trip. Make sure she stays on the stage. So there is something to be said for physical safety.
Well, if nothing else, that would have lit up Twitter. And you can't really experience Finovate unless you're on Twitter. We talked about Steve live tweeting and live blogging. John Watt from Kasasa, Brad Limer, whom we've talked about. Used to be me, although I don't have the time for that as much anymore. I many years ago created a Finovate bingo card as a funny way for us to keep track of all of the memes and kind of stereotypes and this. And I happily turn that over to John Wapsch from Kasasa, and we deployed that a little bit later in the show. But Greg, was that a surprise to you, or was that always kind of planned in that it there would be some live immersion through the Twitter feed and the live audience?
Well, I think it's really positive. You know, it's something that we like to encourage because I think, you know, as I said, there is a danger of a lot of the demos starting to run together, of fintech starting to get a little dry. And the more you can keep it fun, the more you can keep it personal, I think the better it is, not just obviously for us as a show, but for the industry. A little bit of that levity goes a long way at helping people stay engaged. So I love the bingo card, not just because it gives me good content from stage when I'm hosting. You know, I think I gave Wapsh a bingo, all five buzzwords in one row, just to see if anybody was actually paying attention, if I could get them all into one sentence, which was difficult, but I think I managed it. But it's fun to see that the reaction in real time. The one piece that I think I could do without is sometimes we see companies or individuals who sort of tweet shots at presenters who are up there on stage, who can get a little bit snarky. And a little bit of snark, I think, is fine. But when you don't disclose that you're a competitor, that is what really bothers me. If you are tweeting shots at a competitor's product without saying, you know, this is somebody that I'm actually competing against, that to me is where the line is. If you're an analyst, you have the right to have your opinion and you can say that however you like. But if you are actively promoting a competing product, I think that's a little bit dirty pool.
Yeah, I had a rule. If I said something negative, I never said the name. If I needed to criticize it, you had to be in the moment to know that I wasn't happy about something. But I am amazed at the amount of armchair analysis that can go on. The Johns, the Brads, the Steves, Jim Roos when he's there, and how quickly that my own opinion had turned around just by reading somebody's thoughtful tweet that was going on while the demo was still live.
And there's a tremendous amount of engagement here. I mean, I could tell you that in our blog, we have now over a million page views a year, but it's certainly the Finovate blogs that really sort of generate the interest. And we get a ton, you know, just like we're blogging sort of live and seeing the tweets and the blogs and other people commenting. To me, Greg, that is the aspect of the real live community that really is Finovate.
100%. Oh, go ahead, Pia.
No, Greg. I was gonna say what I told you at the show. That was exactly what brought me back to Finovate every single time, is the community that's in there. I mean, all of the connections I've made and all the thoughtful ones have all originated from Finovate.
And I appreciate that. You know, it's one of the things we really want to be. We want to be that community. We've tried very hard to be that community, and it's really gratifying for us to be able to have people like yourselves who are coming and being a part of it. It's very satisfying, and we want to make sure that we're able to continue it. It's something that is very important to myself, very important to Jim, and, you know, it's one of the things that's been the most fun about being a part of Finovate over the last, God, it's almost 9 years now.
Yeah, it's been an amazing run, and so has the show, and we're almost to the top of the hour. So before we close, I want to thank you, Greg Palmer, and you, Steve Ramirez, for joining Theo Lau and me on Breaking Banks this week. We just talked a lot about Twitter. You can find both of them on there, Steve at Beyond the Arc and Greg Palmer at Greg Palmer 47. And clearly Finovate.com, BeyondTheArc.com, BreakingBanks.com. We all have a .com. And we're glad that you were here with us this week. So if you like the show, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. That's really important for other people to find the show and help expose it to others. And don't forget, you can listen to all of our more than 200 shows. We'll do our 250th show this summer. Plus new episodes from FinTech 5 with Jason Hendricks. I have a new serial entrepreneur interview coming out with Mike Upton, CIO of First Tech Credit Union. And also our show Breaking Banks Asia Pacific with Simon Spencer, all at provoke.fm. Brett returns next week along with Jason Hendricks, and they'll be talking about the increasingly blurring lines between commerce and banking. So that's it for this week, and we'll see you again next week for more Breaking Banks.
You've been listening to Breaking Banks with host Brett King. Please be sure to join us again next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, for more of the latest in fintech news.